There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns Podcast. My name is Chris Onozero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Jay. We're doing a mock draft.
Chris, it is time to mock. Everybody in the world mocks at this point, so it is time for us to mock and fairly do it. We've been doing it differently since last year. Usually I used to go on there and do my mocks how I thought, but you know what? It's better, in my opinion. I was convinced of this last year to go ahead and do it to where other people are picking as well. So it makes it maybe who's there and who's not, like who my wishes are. Sometimes yeah. I may have to change that at the last second, like the Kansas City Chiefs would. But you and I will alternate the mock draft this year. Last year we did three. Me, you, and Nick would alternate. Now it's just me and you. And typically we agree. We like a lot of the same guys. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do.
Yeah, I think this year's going to be a little tricky.
Yeah.
Because we brought this up, what was it, 2 months ago when it was about 2 months ago when a month and a half ago when Senior Bowl practices were happening.
Yeah.
And Jim Nagy kind of brought up that like day three of the draft gonna be really tough.
Round 5 to 7, man.
Because a lot of these guys that would normally go day three are staying because NIL is really nice right now.
Taking that nil money, especially quarterbacks.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like Quinn Ewers decided to stay at Texas.
And money.
Yeah, a lot of guys like that probably would have gone and gotten drafted. You know, probably day two or so. They decided to stay in college and see if they can kind of bolster their draft position up.
Which makes round 1 through 3 so imperative to get there. And right now, the Chiefs are sitting with the one pick in each of the first four rounds, 2 in the 5th. Because they get the 1 comp pick and then 1 in the 7th. So
yeah,
seven picks.
Yeah, we'll go over that more here in a little bit. But I want to start off with free agency. Because free agency is going to shape the draft. Free agency starts this Wednesday. For those who are listening on the podcast, if you're listening on Saturday, it already started. But interesting news has come out. Obviously, massive news on the part of the Chiefs for the defense. Chris Jones, this past Saturday night, signed a 5-year, $158 million deal. $60 million of it's guaranteed. It's effectively a 3-year, $95 million deal that they signed him for, which I think is kind of right in that wheelhouse of where his value was going to be if you were going to get him long term. And I mean, obviously he's incredibly excited to be back with the team. I think people here in Kansas City are relieved because now the probably the second biggest need on the team doesn't need to be addressed in the first round or in or maybe not even in the second round if they don't really want to. There's some free agent moves they can make if they really wanted to kind of bolster the team up for another run. But, I mean, now it kind of gives you some flexibility as far as the draft goes in the first couple days.
Yeah, with Neil Farrell being the only defensive lineman under contract for the Chiefs, this is clearly a direction they wanted to go with Chris Jones. He obviously paid a lot of money. They can back out of this thing after like 2 years because the third year is, well, it's going to be guaranteed.
I mean, technically they can they after can. 2 years. They could cut him and they could save $23 million.
I doubt they do it, but he's only going to count $7.35 this year on the cap, which is huge
for the Kansas City Chiefs. Cap hit.
So that part's huge. I look at this, and I think the Chiefs have earned the benefit of the doubt, and the moves they've made, they watch them every day. A lot of times people say, well, why didn't so-and-so play more, right? And we're sitting here saying, well, you know what? Yeah, maybe. But the thing is, the Chiefs are watching them every day. They've earned the benefit of the doubt. They've won 3 of the last 5 Super Bowls. They've been in 4 of the last 5. They've earned that benefit. And to have a guy on the defensive line that you have that versatility playing inside or outside, that's invaluable to the Chiefs. They love it. They value. I've always said, you got to look at arrows pointing up. I think Herm Edwards once said it, pointing up, backwards, or straight across. Chris Jones is still up, in my opinion, because he's now eclipsed as the best defensive tackle. He's also had 60 pressures in the last 5 years. Quarterback pressure is the only guy to do that. And I think when you're garnering double teams as much as he is, it makes everybody else better. It makes Karloftis better. It makes your other edges, your young edges, better. And at 10.5 sacks that Karloftis got last year, I think a lot of times a byproduct of Chris Jones. So you say, who makes this team better? Is it Chris Jones or can it be Snead, even though you're paying more money than you would with Snead? What is harder to replace? And something I've done, Chris, the last couple of years, I look at the top 20 sackers and look at what round they were picked. And it's funny how it comes down to one through, like this past year, a good majority of them were 1 through 13. We're picked 1 through 13. It is a hard, hard position to replace. You can plug and play different guys on a football field. Obviously, the quarterback, you can't. But getting an elite-level pass rusher, you can't duplicate. You can't grab somebody from your roster and throw them in there because if not, they'd be starting in the NFL.
Yeah, it's really hard to do that. So I think this move is really, really helpful for the Chiefs as far as being able to have a little bit of clarity on what they're going to do in free agency. So, I agree with you. I think that this is a move that kind of had to happen. I think both of us were really skeptical about it happening just because the impasse that they were at last year.
He'd be getting the bag right now. People be throwing it around like crazy. Look at the Raiders, what they gave Christian Wilkins. They were ready to move on Chris Jones.
I will say this, though. I'm kind of happy it happened now. Because, A, the number that they ended up signing him for is less than the number that he was reportedly looking for. It's a little bit under 32 a year, and he was looking for like 33 a year. So they actually kind of saved a tiny bit of money. And also because the amount of money that they signed him for, they can get out of it after two, like you brought up. Still an $18 million dead cap hit if they get rid of him after the 25 season. But they could get rid of him and they could save $23 million and save a lot of cash on their cap if they really needed to. So at the end of the day, this actually ends up working out for the Chiefs pretty well.
No, it does. It's such a tough position to fill. As I've said, 13 first-round picks in the top 20, 10 were picks 1 through 13. And again, Jones wasn't. He was a second-round pick. But that's, you know, those guys are hard to replace, his production level. And the one thing, too, is like they see him every day. That's the one thing about Chris Jones. And I trust the Chiefs 100% drafting defensive backs. I think they can do it. I think the defensive backs is stronger in this year's draft than the defensive line. You're not going to find another Chris Jones. You are just not going to find another player
on the interior. Not on the interior, no.
They can do both things like he can.
Cornerback, this year's cornerback class isn't really that great. But yeah, like just from a defensive tackle standpoint, like not really the best. There's some good guys they can get like second round, but not the best year for him. Another big free agent signing that actually broke, like, I think it was, I want to say it was like 2 or 3 hours before the Chris Jones news came out. Linebacker Drew Tranquil signed a 3-year, $19 million with the Chiefs. $12.5 million of that is guaranteed. Effectively, it's a 2-year, $13 million deal. They can get out after 25 and they can save themselves $6 million. But
Sam's Club prices, man.
Yeah, this is great. I mean,
for his production?
Yes. I mean, this is a great. For someone who was arguably their best linebacker last year, though I think Bolt was a little better than him, but arguably their best linebacker last year, this is a great deal to go and get him for, you know, essentially 6 1/3 per year. That's great. That's for a great guy that
came in with five sacks. And not only that, as Dan Hughes said this morning, he's like, a lot of times these players forget the agent works for them. Yeah. You know, Drew Tranquil wanted to stay with Kansas City. He wanted to sign with Kansas City. Let's say Chris Jones. He says at the parade, three-peat. He was talking about three-peat with Mahomes at the Super Bowl. Yeah. I'm sure his agent wouldn't advise him to do that.
Oh, they did. You saw the tweet that, that one of the Cats brothers put out there. I
mean, he played his cards, but you know what? They worked for him. And you know what? Here's the other thing, Chris, as I've often said, you can make more money in Kansas City just for the endorsements. The fact you're going to be on the Max primetime games. You get people want Kansas City Chiefs to advertise for him. He did that DirecTV last year. Expect more. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on State Farm commercials with Mahomes and Reed and Kelsey, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, yeah, and at this point now, yeah.
Can make an extra, you know, $5, $10 million just in endorsements by playing here.
Yeah, but it's not just necessarily playing here. You can do that anywhere. Like, Chris Jones has the personality to make that any city he plays in.
It's a little bit different here, though.
Yeah, but I don't think it is, though. Like, I don't think it is. He wanted to stay here because he wanted to be on the team. But, like, when we start talking about, like, oh, well, he could have, you know, endorsments or whatnot, you can make endorsements anywhere. Like, you can make endorsements in New York.
It's that chance with State Farm.
You can make endorsements in Vegas. Like, there's a lot of places you can make endorsements. That part doesn't really matter as much.
I'm just on board with the Chiefs because he obviously got Mahomes in the State Farm thing. That's a huge thing. You don't get that with another team. Opportunity.
Yeah, maybe not. You know,
Jones is a trend. But again, if he's shoved away to Arizona or Carolina, something like that, it ain't happening.
The other news, Snead. Drawing interest from seven teams, though I think one of these teams is probably going to get crossed off the list because the Lions just traded for Carlton Davis, cornerback from the Bucks, so they may not be in the market for L'Jarius Sneed. But the other names on this list who are drawing interest for Sneed, the Minnesota Vikings, the Indianapolis Colts, the Tennessee Titans, the New England Patriots, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Vikings have actually reached out to the Chiefs about a potential trade. They're top four picks are round one, pick 11, round two, pick 42, round four, pick 107, round four, pick 128. Right now, the speculation is that the compensation could be somewhere between rounds one and three. I think Diana Rossini from The Athletic reported that they could get a one for it, but Albert Breer from SI was kind of throwing out there a second round pick there. So we'll see about that. Let's say one to three is the range. Snead reportedly is seeking a three to four year deal. And if you kind of look at the numbers out there, Jalen Johnson, cornerback for the Bears, just signed a 4-year, $76 million extension to stay in Chicago. So, if you're looking at that, I would imagine he would probably want somewhere in that at least $80 million. Maybe closer to 84, $88 million, something like that. So that's kind of where we're looking at as far as, like, and that's on a 4-year deal. He's looking for roughly $20 to $22 million, I would guess.
Wish Arizona was more on pick 27. I think that would be very cool to move up five spaces. The one thing about the Vikings, though, they're spending on defense. Hey, don't put it past them. They go out and get a couple pass rushers in Jonathan Greenard. And then they go out and get Van Ginkle as well from Miami.
Right,
so they got two pass.
Really good for them.
They got two pass rush, and they brought in Cashman, the linebacker, the other outside linebacker for the Houston Texans. So they're spending money on defense. Is that a possibility? Maybe it's actually one of those teams that might deal with the Chiefs.
Yeah,
they have in the past.
And honestly, to be honest, I mean, you look at the names that were kind of thrown out there. I mean, the ideal spots would be teams like the Vikings. The Falcons. Those are like two of the teams that I'd really be interested in them doing business with, especially the Vikings, because he's not in the conference. They got a lot of money right now because Kirk Cousins just signed with the Falcons, or is going to sign with the Falcons.
The bag too from Atlanta. What the hell? He's coming up with Achilles and he's 36.
$45 million a year. Yeah. He got $100 million guaranteed.
Insane.
It's insane amount. Just
coming
so
off Achilles at 36.
Just so that he can sit there and watch the other teams play in the NFC Championship game in the from the comfort of his suburban Atlanta home every year. Mm-hmm. It's just so there's options there for the Chiefs as far as getting some good compensation goes. I think the best outcome for the Chiefs is to be able to see if they can get at least a two for him. If there is a team that would be willing to move a one for him, like, say, for instance, the Cardinals, if they were to be interested in moving that 27, which I don't think will happen.
That would be ideal.
It'd be ideal. I don't think it'll happen. But if that were to be the case, that would be great for the Chiefs.
Does it put you ahead of Buffalo?
Because Buffalo, yeah, one spot ahead of Buffalo. So Buffalo would have to trade up if they wanted to get ahead of the Chiefs for a while.
And I've seen a lot of my guy Brian Thomas start to slip slide towards the end of the second or first round.
Yeah.
I've seen like before.
I've seen him at 28 a lot.
I've seen him at 27, 28. I've even seen him at 32.
Yeah.
So which still surprises me.
Because yeah, it does surprise me.
At 4.3, he ran a 4.33, so that definitely surprises me.
Yeah, and you're starting to see A.D. Mitchell kind of move up some boards a little bit.
I've seen him mock to the Chiefs as well. Edmund.
He's starting to get a little run. He's sitting there right around that 26 mark right now. So there definitely is some life to that for sure. Yeah, it looks like the Lions traded a third-round pick. And they got Carlton Davis and a sixth-round pick for this year and a sixth-round pick from next year from the Bucks for that trade. So, wow. Like I said, I'm not 100% sold that that the Lions are still going to be in the market for Snead after this move. I think this is a good move on their part.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
But yeah, this is a situation right now where I think the Chiefs know now what they need to do because they don't have to sign a defensive tackle. And they still have the ability to get another premium pick because you've got Snead sitting there. And I think we all agree that a move's going to have to be made before the league year starts on Wednesday. So this kind of puts you in a good position if you're the Chiefs.
And they have technically cleared the space for Snead.
Yes.
In case of emergency, break glass.
Yeah, like just in case. But I think Snead probably gets moved before league year starts. I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to, you're going to see them restructure his contract. I think they can create up to $27 million.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Something like that. And if they were to restructure his contract, I think that's a given. The way you design that contract is specifically so that you can move money every year.
And Joe Tooney, you can play with a little bit with that contract.
Like I know, and they can move some money off of him too. I would say maybe like $5 million, create a little space there. But like Mahomes' contract is designed to create a ton of space. You don't sign that long term deal like that just so that. And not only that, but they tacked on two void years on top of it, and that means that those are dummy years you can push money onto, and then it just disappears when the contract's up. They did it for a reason, and it's so that they could create cap space whenever they needed to. So for those of you who are talking about, oh, there needs to be a last resort, no, that's not what the contract was designed to be. It was designed specifically so that they could move money every year, create space when they need to in order to address free agency, and especially now. This is a good time to do it when you're trying to go for a three-peat.
and we'll see how active they are. Or I heard Pete earlier today, Sweeney, he was talking about the second wave of free agency. The Chiefs might be acclimated in it. Nate Taylor talks about them reaching out to a wide receiver today. Is that Darnell Mooney? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
4.38 speed at the combine, by the way.
Now, let's get to our mock draft. First, Chiefs mock draft for the 2024 offseason. Chiefs have 7 picks here in this draft. You've got round 1, pick 32, round 2, pick 64, round 3, pick 95, round 4, pick 131, round 5, pick 158, which they got from Dallas last year in a trade, round 5, pick 172, which was their only comp pick that they got, and then round 7, pick 252 to round things out. So they got 6 picks in the first 5 rounds, and we're going to alternate. Bink, you're going to start off round 1, pick 32. And now that we have Chris Jones signing with the Chiefs on his record deal for a defensive tackle, things should be a little bit more clear, though. I kind of think that you're probably not going to make a whole lot of adjustments to your strategy here for the first round. So,
no, I've been wide receiver the whole time, and I assume that's where I'll stay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it depends on how the board shakes out, and you know, because like I said, you know, as I brought up last segment, the wide receiver where they're getting mocked at ADP for these guys is kind of shifting around a lot. As you brought up, Brian Thomas Jr. starting to go down a little bit in the first, AD Mitchell going up a little bit in the first. So we'll see how that shakes out there. This is going to be on PFF. So the values will be what they are. You know, let's be honest here. It's one website's algorithm and system. This is more than likely not how it was going to play out. Last year we did this, and it was way different from how we had mocked it. So let's just keep it real in regards to that. As it now, we just saw that Brian Burns got traded to the Giants. So there's a lot of moves that are happening right now as we record this on Monday afternoon.
The first time we actually did a mock for the entire 32 teams, it was Brian Thomas from LSU, who he ended up selecting.
This was back when the Chiefs were 25th.
But this is an all-Chiefs mock out of 7 picks, like tradition, per tradition.
So we will not do any trades because we don't and here's the thing, is I've been doing a lot of mocks, and I've been moving Snead for second-round picks. So, but we don't know what the compensation is going to look like, so we're not going to do any trades right now. We'll hold off on that. So we're going to start this off, and pick 32, round 1. Chiefs are on the clock. Who are you going to take?
Well, definitely going wide receiver in this situation. So we got to get a little bit surprised that some of these QBs, I was hoping some of these QBs would be off the board because it meant more for the Kansas City Chiefs as far as that is concerned, as far as some of the talent.
And I think there's going to be more quarterbacks than most people think are going to be gone in the first round. Like, I think I'm pretty certain now J.J. McCarthy is going to be a first-round pick, which I think is a terrible move. But I think someone's going to sell themselves on J.J. McCarthy as their next franchise guy. So
Brian Thomas is off the board.
Of course he is.
He's the guy that I truly wanted at 24. Not as bad as you'd think. And 27 was A.D. Mitchell. So you're thinking, with the Cardinals. By the way, that's the pick we won the trade.
Yeah.
Getting up to the Cardinals. So Troy Franklin is a guy, did have a little bit of the drop problem, but it is a guy that spread the field. Ran a 4.140, but he runs all the routes, and he is a deep field receiver.
4.41.
So 4.41 for Troy Franklin. That interests me. Keon Coleman, even though he did not have the fast 40.
4.6.
But he was the fastest in the gauntlet. Like, he's fastest in the gauntlet, yeah, but I think that later on he'll be there. Xavier Worthy and Devontae Walker still here. Still here at
and
the end of the
really,
first round.
PFF has Tez Walker and Xavier Worthy really undervalued, I think. They've got them like in the somewhere between the late 50s and the 70s in terms of value. I'm not sold on that. I think they go higher than that.
I'm going Xavier Worthy, and not because he was the fastest guy ever in draft history at 4.21. I'm going because I liked him all along. I know he's a little bit undersized. He's got to put the weight on. We know that. But it is the guy that returns as well. He had a punt return touchdown. He had 27 touchdowns in 3 years at Texas. Had over 1,000 yards last year. almost had 1,000 his freshman year, 981. There's just too much value, I believe, not to draft him here. It's close between him and Tez Walker, but I'm going to go ahead and go with Xavier Worthy. Not my top two selections. It would have been A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas. But with Xavier Worthy there, that's who I'm going to go with.
I like the move. I think that this is a good pick for the Chiefs. The thing that surprises me about that is, you know, how undervalued he is on here. But I really do think that like a lot of people are going to be worried about him because of the weight, and you know they're going to compare him to Mecole Hardman. Here's the thing about Mecole. I don't think that's a terrible comparison because I think Mecole is a lot more talented than what he's shown in his career. Mecole, like really, the last like 2 to 3 years, it's probably the most, like, just from an athletic standpoint, the most athletically talented wide receiver the Chiefs had. The problem is that there have been issues with his work ethic as far as improving his ability to run routes and, you know, trying to improve his understanding of the offense. He's really just kind of been cool with being the gadget guy, and that's fine, but it's really, really hard to want to invest in a guy who's not going to put in that work to improve beyond what their talent will carry them to. I think the Xavier Worthy is one of those guys that's incredibly talented, and I think if he comes in with the work ethic that like Tyreek Hill had, where Tyreek came in and he was kind of the same way, really talented guy who was really small and, you know, just kind of was in a tough position where he had to learn a new position because he was mostly a running back when he was in college. I think that Worthy can kind of be in that same position where he can develop that skill set. And I think he's in need. Like, if the Chiefs didn't have Rashee Rice already, I can understand Keon Coleman in that position.
Devontae Walker, I almost went with. Just
he's
size.
Fast, too. He's 6'1", fast, too.
Yeah, he's one of the fastest guys.
6'1", I think, 4'3", 6'40",
yeah, the 4'3", 6'40", is what he had at the combine. So he was almost who I went. Xavier Worthy is the guy that's met with the Chiefs. He'd been with them at the combine. He told Andy Reid, hey, you're the dude from Madden. Like for the Madden game because it looked like him. But they have met with him. He's admitted he wants to be a Chief. You know, spread the ball downfield. Again, he's going to have to wait. He was listed about 173, I think, at Texas, but he came in at the combine.
165.
And 165. That concerns me. The speed, it's first class. 4.21 is elite.
Here's the thing.
And he's a returner.
Here's the thing. He can put on a little weight, and even if he loses a tiny bit of his speed, he ran a 4.21 at the combine.
Yeah, and he's a better receiver than Mecole Hardman was.
Yeah, he is.
Completely
he is
better.
Especially over the top. Like, he's excellent catching over the shoulder. The thing about him, though, is like, even if he puts, let's say he puts on like 10, 15 pounds, gets up to like 175, 180, he's still probably a 4.2 guy, most likely. And even if he were to drop to a 4.3, he's still faster than most guys on the field. Because there's not very many guys that run a 4.3 40 at the combine. So I actually think that regardless of that, even if he puts on a little bit more weight, he's still got elite speed. So, yeah, I like that pick.
This is how we're going and how we're rolling. However, if Brian Thomas had been slipping or A.D. Mitchell was there, they would have been picked before Xavier Worthy.
Yes, if one of those two guys would have been there, I would have very much strongly.
And Devontae Walker was a close that. Behind Xavier Worthy.
Yeah. So now we're at pick 64, round two. Couple guys that are really jumping off for me. One is defensive tackle Tavondre Sweat from Texas. The other one is wide receiver Johnny Wilson Jr. from Florida State. Now, here's my thinking with Johnny Wilson Jr., because I know a lot of people are like, oh, why are you taking two wide receivers in the first two rounds? I don't think Johnny Wilson Jr. is a wide receiver at the NFL level. I think you can make him a wide receiver. But when I look at him, he's 6'6", 237 at the combine. I think of him as a tight end. You bulk him up a little bit and get him over 240 really easily. And he ran a 4.58 40 at the combine, which for those of y'all that, you know, are wondering about, you know, how that is, that's a little bit faster than Travis Kelce. He's got a little bit more height than Kelce does, a little less weight, but he can still put on a little bit more weight. He's got the frame for it. And even if he sacrifices a tiny bit of speed with that, which I kind of feel like that's probably the reason why he came in at 237 so he can run a better 40. Even if he sacrifices a little bit, he's still incredibly athletic. This is a guy that played as a wide receiver in college at Florida State with Keon Coleman. And you watch him, the way he plays, he runs routes very similar to Kelce. A lot of shorter routes, you know, sitting in between those zone, the dead spots in those zones, catching it, running after the catch. I think that's kind of where his value is. So that's tough because you're looking at that. You're looking at T'Vondre Sweat there, who looks like a killer nose tackle in the league. I think he could be a very good nose tackle. Especially
I like that
the
one
run.
A lot. I like Sweat.
I like Sweat a lot. I mean, he's really strong. He's massive. He was like 365, I think, at the combine.
It'd be great on the defensive line.
But with them getting Chris Jones back, I don't feel like this is a pick that they need to make now. I think you can get some good defensive tackles later on. There's some guys I really like. So I'm going to go Johnny Wilson Jr., wide receiver to tight end out of Florida State. So now we're on to pick round three, pick 95.
Round three, pick 95. The first place I'm going to look at this point is offensive line. It's going to go try to get somebody, try to diamond a rough. Don't forget, you know, that guy like Trey Smith, a sixth rounder. But we'll see with the tackles. See if I like any of the tackles that are sitting
I would
here.
Also suggest a guard, too.
I am even looking at interior line. I'm just looking at
the
tackles.
Because here's what I'll say. The tackle position isn't that deep once you get to round three.
It is not.
The guard position is actually pretty deep in round three. There's some good options.
Interior offensive line.
And mind you, again, let's also remember, Snead is still on this roster.
I'm going.
If Snead gets moved, that probably gives him a little bit more depth.
This is no-brainer to me.
Oh, I know who you're going. Cooper Beebe, guard,
Beebe,
Kansas
go ahead
State.
Select. Yeah. Cooper Beebe, most of the year was a fringe first rounder, second rounder. Getting him in the third round, I think, is a very good value for a Cooper Beebe. If he's still there, hey, why not? It's a guy that's also played some tackle.
He
did play tackle last year.
He tested incredibly well at the combine as far as RAS goes. As you brought up, he is he's someone that played a little bit of tackle there at Kansas State. Here's the thing about him, though. He has a lot. He played a lot of football at Kansas State, and the Chiefs probably need to get a guard in the next 2 years because Joe Tooney is in his 30s now. He's on his second to last year on his contract. Next year, I don't think he's going to be on the team. I think he's going to be a cap casualty because they can cut him and they can save a lot of money. But I think it's like $16 million next year if they cut him. So you're going to be able to save a lot of money by getting rid of him and getting younger at that position. Not only that, but then Trey Smith is going to be playing his last year with the Chiefs, most likely this year. So you're going to need two guards, I think, over the next two drafts.
The arm length is guard for Andy Reid, like right. His 34-inch arms.
Yeah, he's got good length.
He's guard length for Cooper Beebe.
Yeah, so
that's where he's playing. He played left guard at Kansas State last year.
Right. So Tooney,
but he's 6'4".
So Tooney is most likely playing his last year here, as is, I think, Trey Smith. In that situation, you're going to need to get younger. And why not get Cooper Beebe now or another guard now? Have him sit behind Tooney for a year, develop, and then he comes in and starts. And then next year you go get another guard to replace Trey Smith most likely. And now you've got your position figured out. You know, stagger. Because, this is your offensive line is still a very important part of your team. You've invested a lot in it. You've got two premium contracts on your roster right now on your offensive line with Juwan Taylor and Joe Tooney. You spent two draft picks on the other position there. And then, you know, last year you went and got your presumed starting left tackle in the third round last year. So, they're, and they could go tackle as well, but I kind of feel like there's a reason why they traded up to go get Wanya Moore.
The quality of
and
guard was better than tackle.
And then
situation.
They put him in left tackle. Yep. And yeah, and also on top of that, like from a left tackle perspective, this isn't quite as strong as right tackle. If the Chiefs were needing a right tackle this year, this would be the perfect draft to go get one. As far as left tackle goes, once you get to the back end of the first round, it's a little bit tough to find a sure thing or even close to that at left tackle. So I actually think you made a good pick here. I was actually thinking that as well. I will say this, PFF's not going to give you a great grade for it because they think BB is like a early to mid fourth rounder. But I agree with you.
I don't see that.
Yeah, that's what they have.
I think he's gone before.
But I do not think he will be there in the fourth round. I agree with you on that. All right, so let's continue on to round four, pick 131 for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we've got wide receiver in the first round, wide receiver to tight end. I think Johnny Wilson Jr. is a tight end in with the second round pick. Third round pick, you went guard Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. So now we got some options here. And there's a couple of guys that I'm looking at here at 131 that I'm interested in. One, Cedric Gray, linebacker out of North Carolina. I really like him. The other one, Isaac Garrido, running back out of Louisville. This guy killed it at the combine. I think he got a 999 RAS score at the combine last week. And I think about it this way. One, I do not think the Chiefs will pay Isaiah Pacheco when his contract's up. That's just not going to happen. The Chiefs, especially with their quarterback situation, paying him premium dollars.
Especially running backs got paid today.
Yeah, I mean, these running backs got decent money here. I just don't think the Chiefs are going to be that kind of team that's going to go out there and pass out money like that to that position. So, why not add to what is a... You're in a good position right now with your running back situation as far as like the top end goes. You need depth. But Pacheco, good player. He does have some issues, though, with health. And that means that you want to get another impact guy kind of like him that's going to give you some value there. And when I think about what the Chiefs are doing with their roster and I think about where what they like, Isaac Garrido gives you that. He can catch the ball. He can run it. He ran like a 4.33 40 at the combine. He's got the speed. He's got the size you like. You know, you look at his size, he's 6'1", 225. He's massive. No one's going to want to tackle this guy, especially with that kind of speed. So I look at it here, you're round four. You want to add a little bit more depth to your offense. You want to get a guy that can be a thumper in there, but it's going to have some speed, which is exactly what Pacheco is. Pacheco's a 4.37 40 guy who's a bit of a thumper there. He's like 5'11". What is he, 2'10", 2'15", something like that. It's not a need, but it does make your offense better. You just got a wide receiver. You got a tight end. Now you go and get a running back that is going to be the next guy in line behind Pacheco. So round four, pick 131, I'm going Isaac Garrido, running back out of Louisville. So now we go to
not round... a lot of wear and tear on him.
Yeah, I know. a lot of these guys don't have as much wear and tear that a lot
he
of
had an impressive 6 yard average, but
yes,
as far as total yards for Garrido, he was a guy that had not
super productive.
He had 810, yeah. 810, but he only had 132 carries,
right?
But he had 22 catches for 234 yards,
right? Like. It's the same thing with Pacheco, because Pacheco, if you look, I think he was like less than 700 yards his final year at Rutgers. So you just kind of look at that and you're like, I want the guy who's shown you the spurts, who's shown you the flashes, doesn't have a ton of wear and tear on his body.
He ran a what, 4.33?
4.33, I believe.
Yeah, 4.33.
Yeah, you'll take that. You'll take that for a guy that size.
And Pacheco's like 4.38. So.
Yeah, so like you'll take that. So now we're at round five, pick 158, the first of two picks that the Chiefs have in the fifth round. It's on you, Bink.
On me, we've already addressed offensive line. This is when you start getting in the territory of best available player.
Yeah, we hit receiver, we hit running back, we hit guard, and we hit tight end.
So this is where you go, and no, I'm not going to do anything crazy like grab a Dylan Johnson's the guy that I might have taken.
My issue with Dylan is just he was not great. He was not efficient. He was low fours, high threes in a lot of his games as far as yards per carry. And he got a lot of usage at Washington.
If you wouldn't have gone Johnny Wilson, I would have gone Jaheim Bell to tight end.
I would not. You know what's funny is like
he's a little bit undersized, but
he's very undersized, and that's why I wouldn't want him for the team. The other option though that I would have taken if not for Johnny Wilson Jr. would have been Theo Johnson, tight end out of Penn State. Really loved how he tested. You watch him on film; he's very athletic for a tight end. So that's another option too that you should. You know, you guys should be looking out for on day three is Theo Johnson. But now at this point now, yeah, they can take a couple shots here.
You can do whatever you want. I'm thinking corner. Safety, not worried about that because of the safety market. You can get good value there.
I still think there would be a good decision for them to go get another one because they do like the three safety look, and
Tip Ryman's a guy that's still available, and I kind of like him, that tight end from Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, they got a tight end, so I don't know.
You're already looking that direction, so going two tight ends on there is not something I'd want to do.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do that, especially because Noah Gray's still under contract for one more year. But they, you know, Ryman is someone that actually did, he tested really well at the combine last week as well.
So we got to, and this, you know, is, what? I'm gonna go somebody here that I love the speed. I love the route running ability. I love what he does. I'm doing wide receiver once again. I'm going to Christian McCaffrey's brother, Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver, Rice. I like him, and I won't shy away from pass catchers at all in this draft. I want them to get two wide receivers and at least one tight end in this draft. So I don't know what you think about Luke McCaffrey, but the dude, to me, shined at the combine.
I liked him. I thought that, and even at the Senior Bowl, I thought he looked really good. So I'm cool with the pick. It is not what I would do necessarily in that scenario, but I'm cool with the pick because I think that
the fact that he's still there, it's too much value for me.
I think that's
because that was best available at this point.
I think that's appropriate for where he's at. So I like that. Take another shot at receiver. Just get another guy, another depth guy. See if he can, especially because like.
Tremendous route runner.
He's a good route runner, and this is a team that kind of needs to go out of their way and try to take some shots at positions like wide receiver. Get some good value. If McCaffrey turns into like a Justin Watson type player, that's a win. Getting that guy in the fifth round, that's a win right there. You'll take that. So I'm cool with that move. So now we're in round five, pick 172. And the
also
guy,
he's a former quarterback, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
And when he was at Nebraska, did them both.
It looks like Austin Eckler just signed a deal with the Commanders, 2 years, $11.43 million.
Austin Eckler got that.
So that's another running back off the board.
Oh, and by the way, McCaffrey had 117 yards rushing. He had 92 receiving, 13 touchdowns receiving. So he's in the end zone.
He's got some versatility there for sure. Round five, what is it? Pick 172. I'm going to go with Kamal Hayden, cornerback out of Tennessee. This is a bigger corner. You look at his size, 6'1", 197, got good sizes, redshirt senior. This is mainly for depth. This was a guy, you look at his coverage numbers were a lot better this year. This is a guy who's capable of playing man coverage, capable of playing zone coverage. Little bit better in zone coverage than he was in man coverage, which concerns me a little bit. But you like the size. You like what he can do there. And this is, I think, you getting depth at your corner position. I don't think they need to address corner really high. But I think if you do decide to go get
like
one,
a Nick Jones or something.
Yeah.
You know? Like
and here's the thing. I think Nick Jones is probably going to play a decent amount this coming season. Like him and I think Nazi Johnson, who the Chiefs ended up
tendering. And Kamal didn't do anything at the combine, I don't believe.
No, I don't think so. But, yeah, I like Kamal Hayden here, cornerback out of Tennessee, big-bodied corner there. Get him late fifth round. Just take a shot in the dark. See if this guy will go out there and adjust to your system as a bigger-bodied corner playing more man coverage.
And they've had good luck with that.
So now we're in round seven. Skipped a whole bunch of picks now. Round seven, pick 252.
Which is almost last. It's 257 is last.
There's not very many picks left. So really, this very much is shot in the dark territory here for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I have not made any suggestions here, but I would suggest one guy I really like here in the seventh round.
I'm open for suggestions, so let's see if we can agree on it.
It's Gabe Hall, defensive tackle out of Baylor. Kid tested. He looked,
Gabe's still there?
Yes, he's still there. Every mock I've done, he's been there at 252. He's way down there, but he's on there. He's like, if you
Keith Levinson's still there too.
Yeah, I'm not going.
No,
I don't think he's a guard. He's I know they list him at tackle. He's a guard. But I really, really like Gabe Hall. He killed it at the Senior Bowl. He tested great at the combine. He's a defensive tackle. They could use some more depth there. And he's a Spags guy, man. He was a highly recruited player that was that didn't quite show you all the stuff that ended up putting him high in the draft, but he's an incredible athlete that if he's a Joshua Kando type. And, you know, we saw that last year with like B.J. Thompson at the off the edge there when they took him in the, I think it was the fifth round last year. This Gabe Hall is a Veach type pick. He's a Spags guy. He's got the size they like. He's a pass rush guy. He's got a great swim move. He was killing the guys at the Senior Bowl with it. That's who I suggest you take there at 252.
You know the guy that I kind of like, and you'd go nuts. And I do too many pass catchers since we already did, you know, a version of a tight end.
We've done three. We've done
Isaac
three
Rex is still here from BYU. And this Andy Reid guy, he's a little bit older, but he is a tremendous athlete.
Is this just related to Puka Nakua last year?
No, Isaac Rex is a tight end. He is a tremendous tight end. I mean, you know, as far as, you know, value for it, a little bit older, Isaac Rex at this point. So I don't know if I'm going to go that direction, but Isaac Rex is a guy I would consider. But
I think they are. I think if they take Johnny Wilson Jr. and they obviously, if they keep Noah Gray and you got Kelsey, that's three tight ends on the roster. And maybe they keep Fortson too as a fourth. That's certainly possible.
Hey, Tyler Owens, remember him? He was the safety out of Texas Tech.
A lot of people thought he was going to run like a sub 4.340, and he didn't run.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Gabe Hall. I think that's too much value for me.
Yeah, like I said, he looked great at the defensive tackle. He fits what the Chiefs like, and I think that if you just look at what he brings to the table, he's a great developmental prospect for the Chiefs at defensive line. And the Chiefs love developmental prospects on the defensive line.
Blazing 5.03 40, but again, that doesn't matter.
That's good for a defensive tackle.
It doesn't matter.
That's
for really for his for size?
Yeah, that's good.
For Gabe Hall's size? No, I'm 100% going to go that direction.
So, recap of the mock draft. 1.0 for the Chiefs. First round, pick 32, we got Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Round two, pick 64, Johnny Wilson Jr., tight end out of Florida State. Round three, pick 95, Cooper Beebe, guard, Kansas State. Round four, pick 131, Isaac Garrido, running back, Louisville. Round five, pick 158, wide receiver, Luke McCaffrey, Rice. Round five, pick 172, Kamal Hayden, cornerback, Tennessee. And then round seven, pick 252, Gabe Hall, defensive tackle, Baylor. It gave us a C for this. It gave us a D for Xavier Worthy pick. It gave us a D minus for Cooper.
They did not like Xavier Worthy.
They just didn't like him at 32. I think they had him ranked like right around the 55 to 60 range.
You know, he keeps getting mocked in the early 20s, though.
I think he's going to go higher. I to be honest, I would not be shocked if someone traded in front of the Chiefs and took Xavier Worthy. Got a C-plus for Garrido, a C for McCaffrey, a D-plus for Hayden, and then a B-plus for Gabe.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
from a left tackle perspective, this isn't quite as strong as right tackle. If the Chiefs, if the Chiefs were needing a right tackle this year, this would be the perfect draft to go get one. As far as left tackle goes, once you get out of get to the back end of the first round, it's a little bit tough to find a sure thing or even close to that at left tackle. So, I actually think you made a good pick here. I was actually thinking that as well. I will say this: PFF's not going to give you a great grade for it because they think BB is like a early to mid fourth rounder. But I agree with you.
I don't see that.
Yeah, that's what they have.
I think he's gone before.
But I do not think he will be there in the fourth round. I agree with you on that. All right, so let's continue on to round four. Pick 131 for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we've got wide receiver in the first round, wide receiver to tight end. I think Johnny Wilson Jr. is a tight end with the second round pick. Third round pick, you went guard Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. So now we got some options here. And there's a couple of guys that I'm looking at here at 131 that I'm interested in. One, Cedric Gray, linebacker out of North Carolina. I really like him. The other one, Isaac Garrido, running back out of Louisville. This guy killed it at the combine. I think he got a 999 RAS score at the combine last week. And I think about it this way. One, I do not think the Chiefs will pay Isaiah Pacheco when his contract's up. That's just not going to happen. The Chiefs, especially with their quarterback situation, paying him premium dollars.
Especially running backs got paid today.
Yeah, I mean, these running backs got decent money here. I just don't think the Chiefs are going to be that kind of team that's going to go out there and pass out money like that to that position. So, why not add to what is a... You're in a good position right now with your running back situation as far as like the top end goes. You need depth. But Pacheco, good player. He does have some issues, though, with health. And that means that you want to get another impact guy kind of like him that's going to give you some value there. And when I think about what the Chiefs are doing with their roster and I think about where what they like, Isaac Garrido gives you that. He can catch the ball. He can run it. He ran like a 4.33 40 at the combine. He's got the speed. He's got the size you like. You know, you look at his size, he's 6'1", 225. He's massive. No one's going to want to tackle this guy, especially with that kind of speed. So I look at it here. You're round four. You want to add a little bit more depth to your offense. You want to get a guy that can be a thumper in there, but it's going to have some speed, which is exactly what Pacheco is. Pacheco's a 4.37 40 guy who's a bit of a thumper there. He's like 5'11". What is he, 2'10", 2'15", something like that. It's not a need, but it does make your offense better. You just got a wide receiver. You got a tight end. Now you go and get a running back that is going to be the next guy in line behind Pacheco. So round four, pick 131, I'm going Isaac Garrido, running back out of Louisville. So now we go to
not round... a lot of wear and tear on him.
Yeah, I know. A lot of these guys don't have as much wear and tear that a lot
he
of
had an impressive 6 yard average, but
yes,
as far as total yards for Garrido, he was a guy that had
not super productive.
He had 810, yeah. 810, but he only had 132 carries,
right?
But he had 22 catches for 234 yards,
right? Like. It's the same thing with Pacheco, because Pacheco, if you look, I think he was like less than 700 yards his final year at Rutgers. So you just kind of look at that and you're like, I want the guy who's shown you the spurts, who's shown you the flashes, doesn't have a ton of wear and tear on his body.
He ran a what, 4.33?
4.33, I believe.
4.33.
Yeah, you'll take that. You'll take that for a guy that size.
And Pacheco's like 4.38. So
yeah, so like you'll take that. So now we're at round five, pick 158, the first of two picks that the Chiefs have in the fifth round. It's on you, Bink.
On me, we've already addressed offensive line. This is when you start getting in the territory of best available player.
Yeah, we hit receiver, we hit running back, we hit guard, and we hit tight end.
So this is where you go, and no, I'm not going to do anything crazy like grab a Dylan Johnson's the guy that I might have taken.
My issue with Dylan is just he was not great. He was not efficient. He was low fours, high threes in a lot of his games as far as yards per carry. And he's got a lot of usage at Washington.
If you wouldn't have gone Johnny Wilson, I would have gone Jaheim Bell to tight end for Florida State.
You know what's funny is like,
he's a little bit undersized, but
he's very undersized, and that's why I wouldn't want him for the team. The other option, though, that I would have taken if not for Johnny Wilson Jr. would have been Theo Johnson, tight end out of Penn State. Really loved how he tested. You watch him on film; he's very athletic for a tight end. So that's another option too that you should. You know, you guys should be looking out for on day three is Theo Johnson. But now at this point now, yeah, they can take a couple shots here.
You can do whatever you want. I'm thinking corner safety, not worried about that because of the safety market. You can get good value there.
I still think it would be a good decision for them to go get another one because they do like the three safety look, and
Tip Ryman's a guy that's still available, and I kind of like him, that tight end from Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, they got a tight end, so I don't know.
I know, you're already looking that direction, so going two tight ends on there is just not something I'd want to do.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd do that, especially because Noah Gray's still under contract for one more year. But they you know, Ryman is someone that actually did, he tested really well at the combine last week as well.
So we got to, and I'm gonna go somebody here that I love the speed. I love the route running ability. I love what he does. I'm doing wide receiver once again. I'm going to Christian McCaffrey's brother, Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver, Rice. I like him, and I won't shy away from pass catchers at all in this draft. I want them to get two wide receivers and at least one tight end in this draft. So I don't know what you think about Luke McCaffrey, but the dude, to me, shined at the combine.
I liked him. I thought that, and even at the Senior Bowl, I thought he looked really good. So I'm cool with the pick. It is not what I would do necessarily in that scenario, but I'm cool with the pick because I think that
the fact that he's still there—that's, I mean, it's too much value for me.
I think that's
that was best available at this point.
I think that's appropriate for where he's at. So like I said, I like that. Take another shot at receiver. Just get another guy, another depth guy. See if he can, especially because like
tremendous this, route runner.
He's a good route runner, and this is a team that kind of needs to go out of their way and try to take some shots at positions like wide receiver. Get some good value. If McCaffrey turns into like a Justin Watson type player, that's a win. Getting that guy in the fifth round, that's a win right there. You'll take that. So I'm cool with that move. So now we're at we're in round five, pick 172. And the
also
guy,
he's a former quarterback, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
And when he was at Nebraska, did them both.
It looks like Austin Eckler just signed a deal with the Commanders, 2 years, $11.43 million.
Austin Eckler got that.
So that's another running back off the board.
Oh, and by the way, McCaffrey had 117 yards rushing. He had 92 receiving, 13 touchdowns receiving. So he's in the end zone.
He's got some versatility there for sure. Round five, what is it? Pick 172. I'm going to go with Kamal Hayden, cornerback out of Tennessee. This is a bigger corner. You look at his size, 6'1", 197, got good sizes, redshirt senior. This is mainly for depth. This was a guy, you look at his coverage numbers were a lot better this year. This is a guy who's capable of playing man coverage, capable of playing zone coverage. Little bit better in zone coverage than he was in man coverage, which concerns me a little bit. But you like the size. You like what he can do there. And this is, I think, you getting depth at your corner position. I don't think they need to address corner really high. But I think if you do decide to go get
like
one,
a Nick Jones or something.
Yeah.
You know?
And here's the thing. I think Nick Jones is probably going to play a decent amount this coming season. Like him and I think Nazi Johnson, who the Chiefs ended up
tendering. Kamal didn't do anything at the combine, I don't believe.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I like Kamal Hayden here, tight cornerback out of Tennessee, big bodied corner there. Get him late fifth round. Just take a shot in the dark. See if this guy will go out there and adjust to your system as a bigger body corner playing more man coverage.
And they've had good luck with that.
So now we're in round seven. Skipped a whole bunch of picks now. Round seven, pick 252.
Which is almost last. It's 257 is last.
There's not very many picks left. So really, this very much is shot in the dark territory here for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I have not made any suggestions here, but I would suggest one guy I really like here in the seventh round.
I'm open for suggestions, so let's see if we can agree on it.
It's Gabe Hall, defensive tackle out of Baylor. Kid tested. He looked,
Gabe's still there?
Yes, he's still there. Every mock I've done, he's been there at 252. He is he's way down there, but he's on there. He's like, if you
Keith Levinson's still there too.
Yeah, I'm not going
in. No,
I don't think he's a guard. He's I know they list him at tackle, he's a guard. But I really, really like Gabe Hall. He killed it at the Senior Bowl. He tested great at the Combine. He's a defensive tackle. They could use some more depth there. And he's a Spags guy, man. He was a highly recruited player that was, that didn't quite show you all the stuff that ended up putting him high in the draft. But he's an incredible athlete that he's a Joshua Kando type. And, we saw that last year with like B.J. Thompson off the edge there when they took him in the fifth round last year. This Gabe Hall is a Veach type pick. He's a Spags guy. He's got the size they like. He's a pass rush guy. He's got a great swim move. He was killing the guys at the Senior Bowl with it. That's who I suggest you take there at 252.
You know the guy that I kind of like, and you'd go nuts. And I do too many pass catchers since we already did, a version of a tight end.
We've done three.
Isaac Rex is still here from BYU. And this Andy Reid guy, he's a little bit older, but he is a tremendous athlete.
Is this just related to Puka Nacua last year?
No, Isaac Rex is a tight end. He is a tremendous tight end. I mean, as far as, value for it, a little bit older, Isaac Rex at this point. So I don't know if I'm going to go that direction, but Isaac Rex is a guy I would consider. But
I think they are. I think if they take Johnny Wilson Jr. and they obviously, if they keep Noah Gray and you got Kelsey, that's three tight ends on the roster. And maybe they keep Fortson too as a fourth. That's certainly possible.
Hey, Tyler Owens, remember him? He was the safety out of Texas Tech.
A lot of people thought he was going to run like a sub 4.340, and he didn't run.
I'm going to go ahead and go with Gabe Hall. I think there's too much value for me.
Yeah, like I said, he looked great at the Senior Bowl. He fits what the Chiefs like, and I think that if you just look at what he brings to the table, he's a great developmental prospect for the Chiefs at defensive line. And the Chiefs love developmental prospects on the defensive line.
Blazing 5.03 40, but again, that doesn't matter.
That's good for a defensive tackle.
It doesn't matter. That's for really his size?
Yeah, that's good.
For Gabe Hall's size? No, I'm 100% going to go that direction.
So, recap of the mock draft, 1.0 for the Chiefs. First round, pick 32, we got Xavier Worthy out of Texas. Round two, pick 64, Johnny Wilson Jr., tight end out of Florida State. Round three, pick 95, Cooper Beebe, guard, Kansas State. Round four, pick 131, Isaac Garrido, running back, Louisville. Round five, pick 158, wide receiver, Luke McCaffrey, Rice. Round five, pick 172, Kamal Hayden, cornerback, Tennessee. And then round seven, pick 252, Gabe Hall, defensive tackle, Baylor. It gave us a C for this. It gave us a D for Xavier Worthy pick. It gave us a D minus for Cooper.
They did not like Xavier Worthy.
They just didn't like him at 32. I think they had him ranked like right around the 55 to 60 range.
He keeps getting mocked in the early 20s, though.
I think he's going to go higher. I to be honest, I would not be shocked if someone traded in front of the Chiefs and took Xavier Worthy. Got a C+ for Garrido, a C for McCaffrey, a D+ for Hayden, and then a B+ for Gabe Hall.
Oh, B+ for Gabe Hall.
Yeah, I think Gabe is one of those guys that he can bring you a...
I actually like him, too. I like his height, and he's extremely strong.
And he did
everything at the combine.
He's got good pass rush moves on the interior. The Chiefs love to spread their defensive tackles out and have them rush from a three-tech outside the guards, which... is really tough because it basically forces a one-on-one, and this guy's got some pass rush moves. I wonder if maybe they could potentially move him out and, move him around the line and see if they can kind of switch guys around and get some one-on-ones. The Chiefs have a lot. I think there's actually a lot of good rotational pass rushers in this draft class. Another name that I think would have been good in like the third round, and I know that the Chiefs don't draft Ohio State guys, but Michael Hall Jr. is another guy I think would be good value in like the third, fourth round. But yeah, I think this is a good draft, I think, for the Chiefs to kind of find, you know, like two or three guys that can be really good, like potential stars for you. And then like two or three guys that I think can provide some good depth for you and maybe at some point break out if they develop good enough. So I'm happy with Chiefs mock draft 1.0. I know you're happy with it because you got a lot of the guys that you really like.
Got receivers, receivers, receivers. Again, Xavier Worthy was the first pick. Brian yes. Thomas and A.D. Mitchell, not there. They would have been my choices over Xavier
yes,
Worthy.
And they would have been mine too.
It's hard to pass up on speed, and this is what the Chiefs do, and they can do a lot of different things with Xavier Worthy. He cut his drops in half last year. The fact that he can return and is a great receiver, and with that speed, you can't teach that kind of speed.
And let's remember this. There's a good chance that Jerry Sneed gets traded this week, and when this airs on the air on Saturday, Legarius Sneed probably isn't going to be a Chief, and there will be an additional pick that we can make. So that when we do mock draft 2.0 for the Chiefs, we could have a little bit more ammunition to tackle some of these needs. And maybe they could, you know, go and kind of address some future needs at some point. Maybe they go a couple interior linemen. Maybe they take a couple of receivers in the first couple days. You know, there's certainly some options. If they do get a second round pick, if they were to take a couple of shots at wide receiver in the first 2 days, that would be really interesting and it'd be really fun to consider. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Ocero. This is this week's edition of the Character Concern Podcast. Please download, subscribe, wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to us, and we'll catch you guys next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.